Now this morning, my topic is, what are you seeking? I think seeking is something that we cannot miss in our life, starting from a baby and growing up to be a small child, and then when we grow older and older, and then we try to seek one thing or another. So we cannot miss seeking in our life. I remember in about 6 years ago, when I went to America and stayed there for 3 months, I had the opportunity to leave Seattle, Washington, to go up to Alaska, Anchorage. And from there, I took a tour, a boat cruise from there coming down towards Vancouver. Now, it was a 7 or 8 days tour that I stayed in a Princess cruise all the time. And then when coming to a port, we would go down in early in the morning and go around everywhere to look for something new. As I passed through a museum over there, I watched there were pictures of the early Americans who came over to Alaska. Now, they were all seeking for something. And I went and looked carefully at the pictures. I noticed that they were rushing for gold, the gold rush. Well, I think it was a great pity that the people risked their lives climbing up the glaciers in the cold winter, about 30 degrees below zero. And some had fallen into the glaciers, some had died on the way. They did not mind risking their life for the sake of what? For the sake of seeking gold. Well, I was always wondering, why did these people do that? Why can't they stay at home and enjoy the comfort at home rather than risking their lives going out in the wilderness like that? So you see, men have been seeking something over and over again. In our life, perhaps we always seek for long life, longevity. Even about 2,000 years ago, the Emperor Qin was trying to make his life longer and longer, or rather everlasting, eternal life. And he sent his emissaries to Korea, to Japan, and everywhere to gather herbs so that he could what? To take that kind of herbs and to prolong his life. But today, if you go to Xi'an, you see that there was a tomb of Emperor Qin, which died about 2,000 years ago. He was trying to seek for long life, and he was not able to do so, because that was a wrong thing that men had been seeking. We seek for wisdom. I don't think that's wrong, seeking for wisdom. If that is so, then we should not send our children to school, to universities, or to higher learning and so forth. It is nothing wrong to seek for wisdom. But it is wrong to seek only for worldly wisdom. So people seek for better schools, better university, better education. And lately, I think Singapore is trying to change the educational system to a better system. So they are trying to make it better and better and better. But all these are worldly wisdoms, which King Solomon once said in Ecclesiastes. I tried with my finance, power, money, and so forth, and with wisdom, and I could not settle all this. It would not solve my problem. So people seek knowledge in the world. But you know what happened? Knowledge in the world could not get us very far. Well, we may seek for comfort. You see that today, there are people owning a small Nissan car. I think that particular person was not too happy. He hoped that he would own a bigger one. And then this morning, my daughter was telling me that, do you know that at one time, there's one church member who owned a Lexus. And he gave it to the pastor. But the pastor said, no, no, I dare not use Lexus. I better give it to the church to sell it in order to get some money for the church. Now, people are looking for comfort, everything all worldly and worldly. What is the result of all this? The result is that there's a tendency that we forget about God. There's nothing wrong to send our children for education. There's nothing to seek for a better health. There's nothing to seek for earning and so forth. If you work hard and you earn, I think that is quite right. But if all these things drain away your seeking for God, I think there's a great danger. And this is what King David was trying to tell you and me. And he said, one thing in my life, I am seeking. You mean to say that King David was trying to seek for power? I mean, he did not have to seek for power. He had a very strong army with Joab as his general. Now, he need not do that. Do you mean to say that he need to seek for wealth, more money for his country? He need not do that. He was quite rich at that time. Do you mean to say that he wanted more land for his country? During King David's reign, his country went down south as far as Beersheba, which is the Negev, the desert of the southern part of Palestine. And the northern part extend to Hamath, which is in Syria. And that was quite a big country in those days. He need not have to seek for more lands and so forth. But King David said, one thing that I desire, and I continue to seek. Now, beloved, what is that one thing that King David was trying to seek? And he said, this one thing is that I wish that I could dwell in the house of the Lord. Well, I believe that each and every one of us would like to come to church every week, and we feel that it's a joy to come. Nothing wrong. But are we able to come for a long, long time? Some may go to church for 20, 30 years. That's very good. But are you able to go to church throughout your whole life? Until one day when the Lord calls you. That's what King David was trying to aim for. One thing that I desire of the Lord, then, that I'm seeking, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not a day, not a week, not a month, not a year, but throughout the whole what? The whole life, that he would seek to be in the house of the Lord. Now, why did King David want to do that? Why did he want to do that? Don't you think that he had his own palace and his soldiers and everything and his money to spend and all this? Well, let me tell you one thing. In life, so often, sins will crop into us. Sins will crop into us in one time or another. So let us beware. You may be very holy and try to be holy, but then you see, sin does not care about people. They'll come in, crop in any time. And that's what happened with King David in his life. You know, in his life, recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting from verse 127, he was attracted by the beauty of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, one of his soldiers in the army. So King David had a plot, a plan. And that plot and plan was what? To have Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, as his own wife. And so he commanded his general Joab, he said, send Uriah to the front, to the war front, to the most dangerous part of it, so that he will be what? So that he will be killed. What was the intention of David? I think it is a very grievous sin that he was plotting. He was trying to send Uriah to the front so as to be killed and that he could own his wife, Bathsheba, as his own wife. King David was a very godly man. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, we see that he is the son of Jesse, the man of my own heart. That's what God was saying. But even the man of God's own heart, sometimes we are liable to get into sin. And that's what happened to King David. He plotted by sending Uriah to the front so that he could be able to have Bathsheba, the wife, as his wife. Of course, this was rebuked by Nathan. Nathan said there was once a poor man who owned a ewe lamb, a small lamb. There's another rich man who had so many lambs in the house. But the rich man wanted to kill a lamb in order to treat his friends and so forth. Instead, by taking his own one, he went to the neighbor and took the only one from the neighbor. That is what the prophet Nathan was pointing to King David. He said, this kind of person is no good. But David said, who is he? I must kill him. Who is he? Nathan said, you are the one. You are the one who is like that. Now, sometimes when we sin, you know what happened. We try to defend. We try to defend. He said, no, I've not done that. And you try to give all sorts of excuses so that we could be what? Not be blamed for that kind of sin. But not King David. The Bible tells us that he immediately what? Confessed to the prophet Nathan that I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. Such a grievous sin committed by a man of God, man of God's own heart. But one good point was that what? He was able quickly to confess his sins to God. And you know, that resulted in his what? In his longing to go to God's house. Because in his return, he finds there's a blessing. His sins are cleansed and he finds that it is lightened. So in the 32nd Psalm, verse 1, King David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And in the same chapter, 32, verse 6, he said, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in time when thou mayest be found. I think King David got the right time when he was rebuked by the prophet Nathan. He quickly confessed and said, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against God. And Nathan told David, said, your sins are forgiven. See how simple that one is. But that must be coming out from a contrite heart, a repentant heart and a contrite heart. He felt he was so sorry by committing the sins and he had to pay four times for what he had committed. And he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He had this kind of experience that when the person's sin is forgiven, you know what happens? That you are full of joy. You're just like you're going to fly away. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The forgiveness of sins, of grave sins convicted, and that makes him to desire to seek for God again, to return to God again. In the 15th chapter of Luke, it tells us about the prodigal son that had demanded his inheritance from the father. He said, Father, give me my property so that I can go on my own. I'm a Chinese. But if my son were to tell me like that, I would kick him out straight away. He's an inferior son. While the father is living, the son cannot demand inheritance from the father. But this inferior son demanded, and he went away. The Bible tells us that he spent all his money in vices and all sorts of sinful matters. Until one day he had to go and feed the hawks, pigs. And he longed to take feed from the pit to eat. But one thing is that he woke up. Suddenly he woke up. He said, my father is a rich man. How could I stay here and die and eat the feet of the pigs? I would go back to my father and confess my sin to him. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. This prodigal son went back. He wanted to become one of the servants, but the father treated him. No, how could he be my servant? You are my son, which was lost, now it's found again. And then put the best robe on him and put a ring on him. That was the contrite heart that came back and made King David to go back to the Lord. King David had that kind of feeling that his sins was forgiven. And then he had to seek reconciliation. Reconciliation with God once again. And in the 84th Psalm, it says that not only King David wanting to be with God, but he wanted to be with God. In the 27th Psalm, I'm sorry. He wanted to be with God throughout the whole life. So it is with the sons of Korah in the 84th Psalm. There was a hope of the sons of Korah. They said that my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Do you know that? As they were singing this psalm, they were traveling from far, far away from Zion towards Zion. They had to pass through desert land, the very arid land, where temperature sometimes in the daytime rises up to 100 or 110, and then they had to pass through the valley of Baca and so forth. But then the Bible tells us that while they were doing that, they gained from strength to strength. I do not know whether you have this kind of experience. I've driven to many parts of Malaysia. When I started 6 hours driving, in the beginning, I felt that, wow, the journey is so long. But as I go on and on and on, and my destination become nearer and nearer, wow, I am very much encouraged. I think this is what the psalmists were doing. While they were passing through the desert land and so forth, they were looking far away at Zion, and Zion is becoming nearer and nearer. And they wanted that kind of joy in order to go to what? To the house of God, in order to worship Him. Perhaps you may ask me that, why take the trouble of these people going from so far away to go to the temple of God in order to worship Him? Some church members used to tell me like that. Say, Pastor, do you know that though I do not go to church, but on the Lord's Day, I open up the Bible and read, and I sing Him. Also, it is equivalent to going to church. If that is so, I think we need no churches to be built. There should not be any temple. There should not be any temple in Jerusalem. There should not be churches in the world. Because God wants His people to come to the place. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16 and onward, it tells us about how God had commanded His people that 3 times a year thou shalt go to the place where I appointed to worship. So it's the same thing that when we come to church, we are coming to the place where God wants us to be. And I think King David had that kind of experience. He wanted to be in God's house after he had committed such a grievous sins and he being restored. And he seek reconciliation with God. So like not only like the sons of Korah that they were passing through the valley of wine, but King David also what? Said in Psalm 122, verse 1. When someone said to you, let us go to the house of the Lord, he was what? So glad. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why was King David like that? Because that was his desire. And that was what he was seeking for after he had committed sin. I think his aim to go to the Lord's house is that you can see from the same chapter, to behold his beauty, to behold his beauty. And also not only to behold his beauty, but also to inquire in his temple. To come to the Lord's house is not burdensome, where some people thought so. When you ask your friends, your relatives to come to Sunday worship, say, oh, not today. Today I'm very tired. Let's make it next week. If I'm free, then I'll come. And they make it that coming to Lord's house is a burden. It's a burden. Rather than what? Than a blessing. But King David thought otherwise. He said, I want to stay in God's house throughout the whole time of my life. In order to what? To see his beauty, to inquire. So it is with the sons of Korah. Why? Because when they were on their way to Zion, to the court of the Lord, in Psalm 84, verse 3, it says, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself to lay the young. How could a sparrow and a swallow build nests in God's house? Somebody would go there with a rod and trying to pry it down so that the nest would not be there. But the nest is always there. Because they find that what? There's a peace in God's house. There's a peace in God's house. I once read of a story about a candle in Vienna. Now, Vienna was during German rule, during the Second World War. And then it was bombed. The whole city was almost flattened. And then they left only a empty cathedral there. But it seemed that there was an old man. Every evening he would carry his crippled granddaughter going to the church and light a candle there and try to pray to God. So when the war correspondents at that time, you see, during the retreat of the Germans, the war correspondents passed by there. And he saw this old man carrying the crippled child to the church. And he asked him, that, do you do this every day? He said, yes. For the past many years, during the war, I've been carrying my granddaughter to this church to pray to God. So the war correspondent asked him, why did you want to do that? Why did you want to do that? Don't you think it's better to stay at home? He said, no. I find it when I come to here, I have the peace of worshipping God. The sons of Korah said, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest where they may lay young. It is the same thing. When we come to God's house, you find that the atmosphere is totally different. Our whole heart is given to the Lord. We are able to worship Him and we are able to spiritually to see Him face to face. Dearly beloved, I think is coming to church bothersome? You find it very troublesome to come to church? I don't think that is so. I remember in May, the 8 to 10, we had a FEBC retreat at the resort Laut Biru at Mersing. And there I had a very short fellowship with Dr. Paul Lee Tan. I talked to him in Hokkien, and he spoke very well in Hokkien. And I was very surprised. He said, "How come that you are able to speak Amoy dialect like that?" He said, my mother studied in Amoy. So I asked him, "Where?" He said, "In Kulang Su." Kulang Su is an island off Amoy, the port of Amoy, a British protectorate at that time. And so Dr. Tan told me that my mother studied in the Yok Tek Girls' High School. And I told him that my mother studied in the same school. And we talk about that. And what is special with Kulang Su? Kulang Su is a very small island, just like Sentosa. And there was no vehicular traffic. There's no cars, no nothing. All you can do is to walk from here to there for 1 mile, 2 miles, and so forth. But 99% of the population were Christians in those days because of William Chalmers Burns, who spread the gospel to Amoy, and then as a result, many believed. So the people in Kulang Su on Saturday night, what happened? You pass from one house to another house. You are able to listen to them singing hymns and then reading the Bibles, say prayer and so forth. From one house to another, you are able to do that on Saturday night. Early on Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, you see many people walking. The Lord's people walking, carrying their Bible from one place to another, to their various churches over there. There was no road to lead them. But 7 a.m. in the morning, you see people all getting prepared to go to the Lord's house. They have full joy in worshiping God. And it's just like King David. One thing that I seek for, and that is what? To be in the house of God throughout the whole life, throughout my whole life. Dearly beloved, do you find that going to church is a burden or boring? Twice I've been to the Yangtze River cruise. So on one occasion, I was with Reverend Junaidi, and 16 of us from a church, various churches together. 3 elders, 3 pastors, including Reverend John Ling, together. And it happened to be on the Lord's Day while we were on board. So there was no place to worship the Lord. Well, we asked the captain, could we use any place in a boat here for our worship service? The captain gladly obliged. He said, "Yes, please use the karaoke lounge and we provide you with a public address system, everything." I remember I preached that very morning and it was very much blessed because there was a Canadian family with their children who came together and they worshiped with us. Do you know what a wonderful thing it is to be right in the middle of the communist country and in the middle of the river Yangtze? And we were able to have that kind of joy to worship God. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." This is what King David said. And this is what, according to his experience, he had fallen into grievous sin. He had repented, and then he was reconciled to God. And he seeked for one thing, to be in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved, are we like that? Or if we are still consider seeking the world, if we try to seek the world, I think it will turn to be a failure. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. We don't have to work that hard to seek for the world. And John said, for the world passes by, and the lust passes by. Whatever we seek from the world will pass by. But if we seek the kingdom of God, it will be forever. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Let me repeat the question again. What are you seeking? And I leave it for you to answer. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank Thee for Thy love for Thy children to be here in Thy house. Lord, we know that from the experience of King David, he had committed grievous sins, and yet he repented with a contrite heart and was able to be reconciled unto God once again. And his whole life was a seek to be in the house of the Lord forever. May Thou also show us the way that we may be able to find a joy and peace often to come to Thy house to worship Thee. May Thy word continue to help each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.